Hi, you're listening to Spine and Vine, a brand new podcast. We are a wine club with a book addiction. I'm Kylie Havens, and this is my co-host today, my sister, Carson Havens. You may know us from Midwest Mindset.
Our esteemed
podcast, and it is still going on. Someone asked me that, if that was still happening. It is. It's just on a hiatus for now. Also, I have to repay the subscription.
We have to make enough money to pay the subscription first.
I forgot to repay it. But anyway, we'll get back to that. We're starting a new venture in 2021, and it's all about reading and also drinking wine. So that's what this podcast is centered on.
Right. I feel like this podcast actually has a structure, which will be helpful in continuing it.
I feel like Midwest Mindset had a structure.
It was like not structured enough to, there was no like constant thread week to week. This one has like a structure in the sense that we'll be reading a book, drinking wine, and talking about it.
That was a great segue. Thank you. Because I was just going to talk about what this podcast is about. And that's exactly it. Every week we're going to choose a new book to read. Well, I don't know if it's going to be every week. That might be a lofty goal after this week, which we'll get to why in a second. But we're going to have a new book and a new wine pairing. And so our thought is that, like, you know, we'll post what book we're going to read after the new episode goes up. We'll post the new book. You read it. We'll read it. And then we'll all get together and talk about it over a glass of wine. So the book that we're going to start off with. Oh, yeah. Also, I do want to say, too, that we are going to have, like, maybe more hosts join us, for different episodes, things like that. I've lined some different friends up and stuff too. So hopefully we'll have just like a rotating panel of people being able to pick different books. So there's going to be kind of something for everyone.
Right. We're going to do different genres and it's not going to be the same kind of thing every week.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe different wine too. Also, if you need to follow us, or if you are hearing this, you probably already follow us on Instagram at Spine and Vine. You can also email us, like if you have a book suggestion, or spineandvine@gmail.com. Just had to get a little
housekeeping. I didn't know we had an email account.
Yeah, we have an email account.
Wow.
We needed it to have a subscription.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so the book that we're starting with is called The One by John Mars. It is a Netflix show. However, I have heard that the storylines in the TV show are not the same as the book. So if you've seen the TV show, not the same thing. Also, I want to say, too, if you didn't read the book yet, no big deal. Or if you have no desire to read the book, that's fine also. We'll make sure to say, like, spoiler alert.
Well, the whole thing will probably be spoilers.
At the beginning, you know, up until a certain point, we'll say, you know, don't listen anymore. Or just listen at your own risk.
Yeah.
So it's by John Mars. It actually, the wine, is this, do you say Francis Coppola or Coppola? I don't know which one.
That's something that I'm not going to attempt because I don't want to be wrong.
I think it's Coppola.
I think
anyway,
that's right. That sounds right.
That's what we're drinking today. And it is the Diamond Collection Merlot. And it actually is a 14.1%. We love to see that.
We do love to see that.
And it says it has flavors of blueberry pie, cherries, and toasted oak.
I can taste that toasted oak.
Could you taste that?
It's spicy.
This is the other thing, too. We're not like highbrow book people or highbrow wine people. So we're just going to give it to you real. And that this wine tastes like every other Merlot that I've ever tried. But it is good. Like, I'm drinking
it. It's tasty. I said it's kind of spicy. It has a spicy aftertaste.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Spicy as in like pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see. I almost smelled like a little bit of like a, chocolatey kind of flavor a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if that's on there or, you know, that's probably really unprofessional and my palate's probably, you know, it's more along the line of
it's
like
not
the tornadoes
though.
At Speedway gas station.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know if you could take that advice from me, but anyway, that's what we're drinking. And the reason why it's the Diamond Collection, because like diamond, like love, like marriage, and the book
Whoa.
Is called The One.
You
it's a reach.
Are they're grasping at straws.
They're all
going to
be a
one.
Reach.
I didn't know that's why.
I wanted it to be, I wanted it to like go with the what we were talking about.
No, I get it.
Okay. So the reason that I picked this book, I'm the one who picked it, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, she better be sorry, because right off the bat, I'll just tell you, it was not my favorite.
There is a lady on Instagram I've been following. Her name is @thingsibought and liked, and I always like the stuff that she puts on there. And she said, I've been reading this book and it was really good. It's better than the Netflix show. If you didn't like the Netflix show, you'll love the book still. It's so good. So I was like, okay, this seems like it had a cool concept, and which we'll get to in a second. But I was like, okay, you know, maybe this will be a good one to just like to start off with, because the books that I normally read are more like rom-com or...
Yeah, we should talk about the books we normally read. So yeah. You like rom-coms that are like... Rom-coms. You don't usually read series. You usually read like one-offs.
I do ever... Because actually the like one of the last books that I read, it was a series, and it was that Shadow and Bone. I'll read books like that that are kind of like, I don't know, that are random. I need to get every once in a while into something like that. And then I need like a lighthearted rom-com type of Hallmark movie, but a book. And then sometimes they are trashy by accident. And I'm like, what happened here? And I...
By accident.
Like I was like, oh, I didn't see that this is the way that it was going, but okay. So what do
well,
you...
Well, we like overlap in the... I feel like we both like fantasy series.
Right.
Not, but I like more like Game of Thrones fantasy, but we like... On my own. But we overlap in the sense that we like
Vampire
Twilight.
Academy. Vampire I would have Academy. No shame that I liked Vampire Academy.
No, it was good. It was well written.
So,
so
it was
I'm proud
so
of it.
Good.
No, it's so
it was
really good.
It was I wish we could just do that, just talk about maybe some at some point.
I don't know what the like distinction between those kinds of series and like a Game of Thrones, you know,
it's just like
Game of Thrones I think is technically high fantasy.
Well, I think this is more like those are more YA almost, aren't they?
Oh yeah, like Vampire Academy is.
Yeah.
So maybe like, it's like adult fantasy.
Right. And like they're more, I don't know, they spend a lot of time on almost like teen angst type of things,
which we love to see.
We're good with that. But it's what's the other one too that was like the spinoff of, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Bloodlines.
Yes, that was also great.
That one's so good. But yeah, I don't typically read just like one-off rom-com books. That is not my style of book.
Well, I've been reading some that are like actually they have like three in the series. And I'm okay with that. But it's like after I read some of those, then I'm like, okay, now I just need like a fun just like little
I don't like
one.
Books that take place in the real world. I can't say world.
In the real world, Road Rules Challenge.
No, I don't. I like to escape when I'm reading into a fantasy world. So that's why I thought this book might be okay when you suggested it, because this is
kind of
an alternate universe.
Right. Almost like in the future-ish.
Well, it's like, I don't know if it's in the future technically. I think everything is the same except for the plot line.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
So we should talk about what
that's
about.
Yes. There was something. Oh, I was just gonna say my fantasy for me that I like too is where it's like things any like whatever the storyline is, it just takes place on a beach. I don't know why.
Okay,
that's a big part of my book.
Your taste.
My book taste is if it takes place on a beach, and this had no beach, so it really was. Not
I like
saved.
When they take place on a different planet or universe, and there's aliens
so that's what
involved.
You, okay.
Yeah, Reagan.
Which
always
Obsidian.
Makes fun of me for that.
Obsidian
is
another
so good.
One that's so good.
No, okay, so our cousin Reagan, I always talk about Obsidian and tell her to read it. She only read the first one. It's a book about aliens. It's a YA romance
about
aliens.
When you say it's a book about aliens,
yeah.
It sounds so
And she
so
always roasts me because she's like, you are so weird and should not be reading books about aliens. But
if
they're so
anyone
good.
Anyone gave it a chance,
they would like
it.
They would.
They
like
would.
It.
Yeah. Everyone knows okay. they would like it. They just don't want to admit it. Okay, so... Anyway, like I said, we're going to get to other books, though, that maybe, like, someone else picks, or we'll pick one, you know, from our weird taste.
I'm picking
taste.
The next one.
Yeah, Carson's
one
picking
though,
the next one.
I deserve it.
Okay, so basically, still no spoilers here. What it's about, short version, is just that it's, like Carson said, kind of in a different, maybe in the future, maybe currently, but they found something, and it's, like, a match your DNA, and... That you kind of explain this because it's a little too sciencey for me.
Okay, well, basically this person discovered a gene that allows you to figure out who, like, biologically you're meant to be with.
And so it's like one person.
Yeah, it's like
in
your soulmate
world.
Kind
like,
of.
And you have, everyone has a perfect match or most people.
And you can choose whether you want to, like, engage in the service, whatever. And so
you have to, like, send in a DNA swap.
Right. And so you find your match and then it's like an app and you can go meet them, whatever. So that's like the basic plot that goes throughout the whole book, but then each chapter focuses on a different character.
Right, so altogether there are five different storylines, and so that's kind of, I think, where it differs from Netflix, because on Netflix they're different, the storylines in on Netflix are not the same storylines that are in the book. So that was one of the things, All right, I'm trying to decide how we should talk about...
I think we should just go into each character and what their main
thing is. Let's do that. So let's start with Ellie and Tim, because Ellie is the creator, or the founder of the Match Your DNA thing, and so it's all about her finding her match, and she finds this guy. She's a workaholic type of girl.
Yeah, she's always wary that, like, whoever she match, like, dates or whatever is just trying to get with her for her money, because she's super rich for discovering this gene and for starting her company. So she kind of dates around but never is, like, serious about anything. But she finally decides to use her own service and find her match. And her match ends up being this guy named Tim, who seems really, throughout the whole book, well, until, like, the climax.
So do we want to say spoilers now?
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems like a really... just normal guy. I honestly was kind of tricked. I was like, I know there has to be something going on. But, like, he seemed fine and normal. But then you find out... Do you want to say what you find out?
Well, the thing that I thought was so creepy, but, like, you find out, yes, that he is not good. And he actually was played by the DNA match, kind of. His parents were a long time ago. So he's held, like, ill will toward the whole match service. And so he hacked the system and made himself Ellie's match so that he could, like, infiltrate
the system.
Yeah, exactly. And so then the whole thing comes out at the end that he essentially went in and just made all these couples, just made up their
match. 2 million people. Yeah. He just, like, hijacked the system, made them have random matches.
So people would question the whole system.
Because he wants to take it down from the inside, basically. Right.
Okay, now talking about these two, getting into a little more of them, I seriously had no feelings on them the whole entire book.
I did not care. That's the problem with the book. I cared about one. Who's your favorite character?
Nick.
3, 2, 1, Nick.
It was I didn't know we were counting.
Mine was Nick, though, so. Nick.
And that's, literally the only one I cared about. Person. Toward the end, I cared a little bit about.
You don't know her name. She's checking her notes to figure out the name of the person. Who was it, Jade?
Mandy. No. Sorry, Jade.
Okay, I'll be.
And Jade and Jade's Jade? Guy.
Jade? I don't know his name. Okay, there's another character. Let's list the characters.
Let's finish, though, Ellie and Tim really
okay,
fast.
But first of all, I just need to... Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I know, we're going to go off on so many tangents about this book because...
But I feel like we should list all the names of the characters. So the main characters were Nick, Ellie, Jade, Mandy, and Christopher.
Okay,
and we only cared about Nick. So we imagine we only cared only about one-fifth of the chapters.
The book.
There were 102 chapters.
It was hard. Like, they didn't do a good job of making you, like, emotionally invested in people.
Well, this is a note I have. This is not getting off
and
topic,
I think that's
so
a problem for me because, like, there are some books, too, where, like, I like them even though they're not normally my cup of tea. Like, I read The Girl on the Train, and it was, like, I didn't necessarily – that's not my normal thing
that
I'm reading. And no, but see, like, that, I didn't relate to her, but I still was like, oh, I still, like, wanted her to, like, do well, even though I was, like, and I was invested in just the story where it's like this, I don't care about any of these people.
They did a good job with world building, because I thought it was a creative concept, but the execution was just, like, I have no investment in any of the characters.
And they made you, like, any question you had, like, how does a DNA match thing work? Like, they answered every question like that you have.
Okay, this is the thing, this is the note I wrote down.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what any of the characters look like?
I had yes, one, and it was Nick.
Yeah,
and
the only one.
Actually, it's funny because the way that I pictured him in my head was the guy from, not The Haunting of Hill House, the other one, The Haunting of Bly Manor, the groundskeeper guy.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I imagined it to be him, but then at the end, they were talking about how his skin color is light, and I was like, okay, so it's obviously not. They didn't mention that the whole entire book until the end, so it's like they don't want you to know.
Couldn't tell you. No, I think they did describe them in the first few chapters, but that was the only time it was mentioned, so I don't know. I don't remember any of them, which tells me I had no...
Jade,
like,
in my head, I will be honest with you. I saw the Bratz doll named Jade.
No.
The one, not even the real version, the McDonald's Happy Meal toy version that you got back in the day. Because I was like, I have no idea what this girl looks like.
It's just a silhouette. It's just a disembodied voice, all of them. Except for Nick. And Alex.
Except for Nick. I don't know why. They just needed to have a book of them. Like, I actually cared about, like, what they were going to do when the book was over.
Okay, we have to talk about Nick last because he's the best. So let's move on to Jade.
Okay. So Jade, this is the one story that I was like, okay, this is good. Jade goes...
I didn't like this story personally, but go ahead.
You didn't? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jade's story is just that she, goes out to find her match. She's been chatting with him just via text. His name is Kevin, and they are a great match, and she really likes him. She's really into
him. He lives in a different country.
Yeah, lives in Australia, and this is supposed to take place in England. Mm-hmm. And so she's finally just like, you know, what am I doing? Like, there's nothing really holding me back here. Why am I staying? And I'm just going to go and take my chances and meet this guy. So she musters up the courage to go to Australia. And she goes and knocks on this guy's door. She calls him and mm-hmm. says, guess where I am? And he goes, you need to leave. And he's like freaked out that she's there. So she's like, what the heck? She just decides then to roll up to their house. And the guy answers the door and she's like, he kind of looks like him, but it's not exactly what he said he looked like. But it kind of like vaguely looks like him from his photos they'd been exchanging. Turns out it was his brother, and he's saying, like, you got to leave. And Kevin actually is in a wheelchair. Or no, he's not in a wheelchair. He has like a
IV wrap.
Yeah. That, again, don't really know about these people.
Yeah.
And so he's about to die. Like, he only has
weeks left. He has stage 4 lymphoma cancer.
Yeah. And so that's why he had been, like, just, you know, kind of living out this relationship via text because it was something that was uplifting to him, mm-hmm. that was kind of giving him hope, but he just didn't want to meet because he knew that as soon as he met her, she'd just be like, okay, you're going
to
die.
And so she's obviously, like, depressed because she wanted to, like, be, have time with her match, whatever. But she ends up, like, staying with him.
Her family live with their parents.
Yeah.
The two boys, the brothers.
Yeah. And, like, she really likes him and cares about him, but she doesn't have, like, a spark with him. And then the, like, spoiler, I guess there's already been spoilers, but, like, the whole thing with her storyline is that she actually feels, like, a connection and thinks that she's in love with his brother.
Yes.
Mark? Is that his name?
Again, no idea.
I think it's Mark.
I think it is Mark. I think you're right.
And so she feels, like, it's weird. It's described, Kylie and I weren't really sure, like, if this is a real thing, but, like, every time that they feel like they're with their match, they always describe it as, like, an electricity, but not in this general sense of, like, fireworks, like, whatever. It's, like, as if, like, their body is being, like,
yeah, it was kind of weird. And I was like, is that them trying to be just, like, descriptive?
Yeah.
Or, like, are they literally feeling that?
I didn't know.
Because I was trying to decide, like, is that going to be, like, a thing? Which I thought that was going to be the whole story, was that, like, when you took the DNA swab,
yeah,
that it was, like, doing something to you. Like, they gave it to another random person, mm-hmm. and it, like, gave them that same thing. So, like, some way, almost like putting two magnets in your body and it made them react to each other. That's a bad description. But, like, I thought it was some type of scam.
Because we were thinking too deeply about.
And it's not that
deep. It isn't that.
It's not that deep. It's just more twisty than, like, some random thing is going to come to light.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, then she figures out then her, she stays with the family and she just tries to make Kevin feel good in his last days, you know, left in his life, which is super depressing.
It was depressing.
But
she marries him.
Yeah, they end up getting married. He passes away and then ends up getting with the brother. Well, then it turns out, like, the brother's into her. And you find out that later on that the brother basically, Mark, we're just going to call him the brother. he took the DNA test and because Kevin really wanted both of them to take it.
Yeah.
Because he really wanted to meet his match before he died. So Mark sent it in for them, but Kevin came back with no match, and Mark's match was Jade. So he felt bad for his brother, which Carson and I listened to that part together, and we were both like, oh, that's really sad. Like,
it was tragic.
Like, that was, like, one of the most emotional parts of the story, was just that it was, like, so nice that he did that to his brother.
Yeah.
Like, he gave up his perfect
match.
But
then it's also kind of messed up, because he, like, Jade just married him because of the, like,
yeah,
because
she just,
the
was, like,
false
felt,
belief
she's like,
that
you know,
she was his match.
Yeah. So anyway, so then it ends with those two, you know, figuring all that out and, like, explaining to the parents, because the parents were kind of, like, ticked off about it. They're like, you're really going to, like, you guys
get with his, yeah.
Yeah, why would you do that?
To Kev.
They explain. And she was like, did you really, you know, just do that out of the goodness of your heart? I think they saw that she was, like, a good person and she was just trying to be, like, a good friend to mm-hmm. Kevin before he died. And so, yeah, they end up getting together and, like, going on this big road trip together, and that's how their story ends. So theirs was, like, the only one that was kind of okay. I mean, the guy died, and she described him as her best friend then, because they had been, I kind of forgot about that whole part, like, they had been texting at the whole beginning.
To be honest, her storyline is boring to me.
It was kind of boring just until the end when you find out that the brother was, like, I just thought that was kind of, like, a good twist, because I was like, what is going on here? Okay,
Mandy.
Oh, wait, did we ever explain what happened to Ellie and Tim? Oh, yeah, just that they... Oh, we'll get to the very end, because that's how Ellie's story ends. Okay, so
we have to come back to Ellie, because her plot line is kind of the
end.
So, Mandy. her storyline I thought was interesting, but I did not care for her, and I didn't relate to her at all.
She was an imbecile. Why are you making these choices, Mandy?
Yeah,
okay,
Mandy,
so explain her story.
Okay, so Mandy was, like, an older divorced woman, and she had multiple miscarriages. She's, like, a hopeless romantic, just wants to find her match, basically.
And her sisters have, like, kids.
Yeah, whatever. She's just, like, unhappy with her
life. She wants kids of her own, yeah.
So she uses MatchYourDNA.com, and she finds her match. It's this man named Richard. And she's, like, really excited, wants to go meet him, whatever. But then she finds out that Richard is – she, like, looks him up, I think, on social media or something. And she finds out that he is dead and he's having this memorial service thrown by his family. So she goes because she's, like, heartbroken, wants to see what he was all about.
She's like, that was my perfect match. That was my only chance at love.
So she's just curious. So she goes to this memorial service, which I was like, ma'am,
that is whack. So scary, Mandy.
But whatever. So she goes.
Sit back down.
Yeah, Mandy she goes.
Moore.
And not only does she go. Yeah.
Oh my God, me too.
So she goes, and I'm like, why are you there? But she starts, instead of just like sitting there minding her own business, she starts socializing with the people that are at the memorial. And she starts making up stories about times that she shared with Richard, which she didn't because she'd never met this man.
That's like one of the things that the book did well, because it was like, how was she describing this? It was like something she saw on Facebook and like people were with him. So like clearly people are going to know like, wait, I was there and you weren't there. So that is exactly what happened.
And so Richard's sister, Chloe, comes over and is like, why are you telling people that you know my brother? Who are you? And then so Mandy comes clean and is like, I didn't know him. And I was like, you are so stupid.
She's like, I got wrapped up in it. I'm so sorry.
But she tells her basically that she tells Chloe that was her match and she just wanted to see what he was all about, whatever. So then Chloe is super sympathetic and is like,
they befriend each other.
Yeah, which I thought was strange. I was like, it's strange right off the bat that Chloe is like this girl that
I kind of thought it was like, okay, I gave him the benefit of the doubt, like, okay, her brother just died and she's probably feeling like super emotional and this is the last connection to her brother that she has is like his match, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And this girl, I don't know, that's the only thing. I was like, okay, maybe, possibly, but yeah, it turns out things were more sinister.
Things get worse. Okay, so Chloe is like, hey, you should meet my mom, Pat. Like, she'd probably love to meet Richard's match. She loves Richard, whatever. So as her chapters progress, Mandy meets Pat and Chloe, Pat, Richard's mom, and hangs out with her and Chloe all the time. And it just, like, they get really close, form this relationship. Eventually, like, she moves in with them. I don't know if this is before or after
the whole. Yeah, she ends up, living with them.
She's living with them. And then Pat and Chloe are like, hey, because they find out Mandy wanted to have babies and she can't because her match is dead. Pat and Chloe tell her that Richard had a reserve in the sperm bank. And so she is free to use that if she wants to impregnate herself with her dead match's sperm.
And then I was like, okay, what that, kind of, like...
I was like, this is so messed up and unethical.
That's what I was thinking. There's no way that the mom would be in control of his, like...
Absolutely not.
There's no way. And, like, then I was thinking of all these things of, like, okay, when you have a sample in the bank, let's say, when you have, that.
A reserve.
A reserve. do you, like, when you die, do they just, like, get rid of that?
I would imagine it would have to be.
That's
gonna be
super messed up.
I would think it would have to be destroyed. Like, I don't know for sure what the legality there is, but... I don't know. It's so...
It was just giving me all these... Like, I just know there's a bunch of restriction. Like, things are crazy when it comes to that. And I was like, there's no way that this would ever be able to happen. So this was kind of too far-fetched for me. But
I hated it.
I was thinking of, like, you know, Sofia Vergara.
That's exactly
a couple
of
years ago.
Of.
Yeah, how, like, she was in a fight with her ex-husband.
Which, that was crazy.
Yeah, because they, like, made... Not
he
even
wanted,
just a
like,
sample.
Over
but
it.
That was because they had actual, like, embryos together that were saved.
Oh, it was? I thought it was just her ex.
No, they were for sure embryos. And so, like,
that
he wanted to
then.
Still, like...
Yeah,
like
control
have
over them.
Them, and like she was like, no, like we're not together anymore. So that's kind of messed up too. And maybe I don't even know. Like that's like too much to get.
Well,
into.
Anyways, okay, yeah, that's a whole other.
That's a
podcast.
Whole other thing.
That's we'll Midwest Mindset.
It's our embryo episode. That's gonna be our homecoming episode on Midwest Mindset.
Okay, so anyways, this crazy girl Mandy, she is like all for it. She goes, she gets impregnated by the sperm of Richard, her dead match.
I hate that we're talking about this.
Okay. Sorry. Well, that's what the book
is about. No, I know. I just so hate this so she's pregnant much.
Now. So then her storyline's like the most, it's the most involved. So she is pregnant now with Richard, and she's like, I want to know more about
dead?
Him.
Who's dead?
As far as she knows. So she is pregnant. She's like, I want to know more about Richard, my baby's father. So she goes and meets one of his ex-girlfriends. His ex-girlfriend tells her, that Pat and Chloe basically are crazy and tried to get her to get pregnant with Richard's sperm as well. And obviously Mandy's like, wait, what? And then she's like, that's crazy, whatever. And she mentions the fact that Richard's dead, and Richard's ex-girlfriend says, who told you he's dead? He's not dead. Basically, he's in a persistent vegetative state and is still alive, but just, like, not mentally alive, basically. And so Mandy's like, wait, what the heck? She realizes Pat and Chloe are crazy, goes, tries to run away from them, but she gets, like, in an altercation with Pat. Pat pushes her down the stairs while she's, like, 9 months pregnant, basically. 8 months, I think.
Yeah.
And she ends up in the hospital. She wakes up. She had a C-section. No baby. Anywhere in the hospital.
Stolen from the hospital.
And you know it's Pat. So then she has to go find the baby. It's this whole ordeal. You find out that Pat is crazy and has, like, stolen other babies and potentially stole Richard and Chloe.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, which we forgot to kind of hit on, is that Richard, yes, turned out to be alive, which she found out, I think, was it right before she was pregnant? Or no, it was when she was pregnant. She found out.
That's when she was talking to the ex-girlfriend.
Yes. So anyway, so she went to go visit him too. And like when he was in the vegetative state. So she had seen him. And this is the thing I was thinking, like, we didn't mention, like, okay, why did they have a funeral for him? But it was more just
it was supposed to be like
a gathering memorial just because he probably was never going to be normal again. And so
he was never going to be conscious again.
Yeah. And so, but then it was like kind of messed up because Chloe and Pat, the mom and sister, just kept like, acting to her like clarify. He actually was dead. Correct, because they wanted to trick her.
It ends up being Pat tries to kill herself and the baby, but like she doesn't succeed, so she goes to jail.
Right, and so
and she gets the baby back.
Yeah, so Mandy gets the baby back and like baby back ribs. I was just like, okay, great. She ended up, I guess, getting what she wanted in the end, which is just like she wanted to be a mom. Yeah. So I guess she had that. And then it was kind of like nice. She took the baby to go see Richard, and like she like turned around for a second. She put the baby like on the bed next to the rail thing and like looked at her phone, looked back up, and Richard's hand was not Richard.
Well, the thing is, this was
it is Richard.
But I can't remember. They mention in the book that there's this thing that happens with the babies of matched people, and it's like if you're unconscious, like if you have no brain function, somehow if you have contact with a baby that's was made through your match, the baby can bring you back to consciousness, which I was like, this is so far-fetched, please stop. But I think that's what they were alluding to in the end, was that his hand moved, which he couldn't do before.
I think so too. So I think it was just like a thing where they just tried to add stuff. They're like, well, you know, we could kind of do whatever we want because this isn't a real thing. And I think that that was something that kind of pulled you out of the reality of it, because you're like, okay, what?
Yeah.
Like, what? This is convenient.
Okay, let's move on to Christopher.
Christopher and then is the Nick, last
favorite.
Christopher,
I was just like, please stop.
Christopher was the actual worst.
Someone come get this man.
Basically, let's just make this very fast because I don't want to spend much time. He doesn't deserve time. Yeah. He is a murderer and
serial killer.
Whatever. I mean, is that the same? I don't know.
Murderer is like maybe one or two times. Serial killer, he's trying to kill 30
women. But I mean, you have to murder to be a serial killer.
Yeah, but not all murderers are serial killers. Yeah, but okay. Go ahead.
I'm annoyed. So, I just hate him so much. I have so many feelings on him. One, he's the worst. Two, how dare him? How dare he? No, so he's a serial killer. But his match, his perfect match, is a police officer.
Right.
So, you'd be like, oh, cool. Like, that's an interesting thing. Well, the whole time, I was just wondering, like, is this girl actually, her name is Amy. I was like, is this girl actually a police officer? Because they could have done so many, there were so many missed opportunities, which is another little part I want to get into a little bit later. They had so many missed opportunities. This could have been a way cooler storyline. I thought she was going to be either one, a police officer who was like in on this the whole time and like knew what was going on. So she was like, okay, she's going to take him down from the inside. or B, that she was a, like, some kind of murderer herself. And so she was like, oh, my big kill is going to be to kill this big murderer guy. Like, she was almost like a Dexter,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to kill the bad guy. She had, like, a hero complex thing. Or three, she
Do you have a third? You look confused. Okay.
Well, I think I went with letters, and now I'm going with numbers.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So three, she, I thought maybe it was, like, one of those people who, like, got obsessed with, like, Ted Bundy, and they were, like, wanted to, like...
Like, wanted to like, be they were, like, his...
A, yeah. So piece. I thought that was, like, the thing that was going on. But that's none of which is true. She was just a normal girl who was a police officer and then, like, doesn't figure out that he's a killer.
Until the 29th victim.
Yeah. And it was like, you idiot.
Yeah.
What are you doing? How do you not know?
And it was, like, very obvious because Christopher is, like, an egomaniac and is, like, so annoying and just is a psychopath.
But
like,
it was
I would have known.
I feel like it too, but it was weird because, he was an actual psychopath.
He actually, like, was in love with Amy.
But for some reason, that's the other thing that did not make any sense because, like, for some reason, his perfect match ended up pulling him out of being a psychopath, kind of. Like, only his emotions toward her, like, that was the only emotion that he had because everything else he had to fake. Like, he couldn't read people's expressions.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of, like, too much. And
it was just,
so that was kind of another thing that, like, a factor that led me to believe that this was, like, some kind of fake thing that they were, like, putting into people when they took the DNA test because I was like, okay, how does that work exactly?
I literally only have, for my note, Christopher, serial killer. I'm bored.
I'm bored. Yeah.
I was bored. Because I was bored within, like, the third chapter
there needed to be some kind of, like, all of a sudden, he sees her killing somewhere. Like, she comes in and helps with the kill, like, on a... I don't know.
It was just... It felt almost out of place in the... The only thing that it matched his storyline to the others is that, like, all of them are negative in some way. Like, I'm like, where's a positive story?
Yeah, that's what I wanted... That's what I'm gonna say.
But otherwise, it felt out of place. I was like, okay, this is a different book.
Right.
And it would have been a fine book on its own, but...
That's kind of really quick, just to get into, like, some of the missed opportunities real quick. Like, the one thing, and the same thing with, like, I think more... This might just be because it's more of my taste in books. Yeah. I would like this story, and it's one that they totally could have done, and I think it almost sounds like a fan fiction book, but, like... Where are the people who are getting matched with celebrities? And, like, they're totally... That's what I'm thinking. Like, they're a totally normal person. Like, you're sitting here right now, and, like, you take your match, and it comes back. You get the email, and it's, like, Harry Styles. And then that's what it is.
Wow.
That's what I was like,
I would be the biggest Match Your DNA advocate.
That's what I'm saying. There could have been so many good, but they focused on all the bad stories. I think that was kind of, like, the premise of the book was just that, like, because that was the whole thing with it, was that it was ruining so many relationships that were already good, but it was, like, people just wanted to know, and that was kind of, like, what Ellie said at the end of her story, which was, like, people don't need to stop wondering about, is the grass really greener on the other side, and just be happy with what they have, because it might seem like this thing that's, like, so perfect, but is it really perfect? I don't know. It was too...
So that's an ethical dilemma. We can't...
And we can't get into. We're not that deep here. And I've had too much of this diamond wine.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so should we get into Nick?
Yeah, okay.
Are
so
you ready?
Nick is the my best. Bestie.
He's best story.
We love him.
The only good story.
Does nothing wrong.
In fact, read the book and just read the Nick.
Just read the Nick chapters. You could do that and it would still make sense.
Because this is one of the things. When I said that when you have questions about, like, how does this thing work... had the DNA match, how does it work, and I said that they answer every question, this is kind of like what I meant, because how do they explain, like, gay people on Match Your DNA, and then they also got into, like, how explaining, like, how they put in people with, like, Down syndrome or people who are way older than their match, and they're a teacher and they're matched with the student or something. That's what I was like, how is that gonna work? But first of all, you had to be a certain age. Mm-hmm. I think you had to be 18 or 21.
I think it was 18.
Okay, to submit.
I think it might have been 16.
Was it?
I think so, because it's in England. I think that, like, age of consent is younger.
Well,
there.
So there was that. And then I was like, how if they're, like, you know, halfway across the world or whatever? And because there was one couple, which is in Nick's story, who they were already together and they were matched. And I was like, what are the odds of them being a perfect match? Well, it turned out they really were not a perfect match. They were lying about it. And I was like, yeah, obviously, because... There's no chance, really, that you're going to be
that
in the
if
same...
you're dating someone, you find out they're a perfect match. The chances are extremely slim. That's
right.
What you're saying.
So, I thought that was weird. But, like I said, they explained it. So, that's kind of where Nick's story comes in. And it was...
Want me to explain?
Yeah, why don't you go? Okay. You explain it, because I'm just like...
Okay, so Nick has been in a long-term relationship with his girlfriend, Sally. So he, for all he knows, all he believes, he is a straight man who is in love with his girlfriend, and they are getting married. He's happy. They have these two best friends that are Indian, and their names are
Deepak and Sumaira
that are married. That's with what two
I was like
kids.
Trying just now to like think of their name.
Yeah. Okay. They're married with two girls, children. And so those two, Deepak and Sumatra, no, Sumaira.
Wait, why did I think those were
Sumatra names? Oh, that's and Rhino.
Starbucks Sumatran blend.
Oh my god. Okay, sorry. It's the diamond.
Okay.
The diamond. Anyway, so wait, what's her name?
Sumaira.
Why was so Sumaira
was
the first
kind
time
of like
I
the worst character because she was she one was... of those people, and it kind of became like a thing when people got like the test and stuff. They acted like, you know, they were there and they met up with their match and they were married to their match or whatever. They were kind of saying like, you know, like, our relationship is perfect because we're a match. And so if you were a friend of someone like Nick and Amy who were not a perfect match because they did not take the DNA test.
Nick and Sally.
Nick and Sally. I don't care about anyone but Nick. Okay. So they kind of like pretended like to look down on them. It was like a social thing.
Right.
Because it's like you guys weren't matched. So like your relationship will never be as good as ours.
Right. Okay. So here's the deal. So yeah.
So many layers.
So Deepak and Sumaira. I can't say their name. I'm going to stop saying their names. But they were claiming to be a perfect match. They weren't actually. Okay, so Nick and Sally, the two main... Nick is obviously the character that is like the main character. And Sally is his fiance.
Yeah.
He, they're just like happy, whatever. But Sally is like pressuring him to get the matcher DNA tested.
Yeah, they're just about to get married. And she's like, we need to take the test.
She's like, just for added security, we need to know. He's like really against it. He's like, no, like we're perfect the way we are. We don't need to do it.
Which I feel like is what most normal people, like if I asked like, well, maybe someone who's in a relationship, like if you asked me to take it, I'd be like, why?
Yeah, no, that's just like asking for trouble.
Why? No one needs to take it.
Right.
At all.
And so she like pressures him. They end up both taking it. It doesn't have a match, she claims. And he does, and he's like, I don't need to see it, I don't care. But she's like, no, you should see this, it's a man.
And so he's matched with a man, and he's like, what?
Yeah, he's like shocked.
And it's not like one of those, like, he is like trying to hide that he's gay. Like, he clearly was not, like, he never felt like he was gay.
He just didn't think he was. And so he's just like kind of shocked by that. And then he, like, curiosity overcomes me. He eventually is like, I need to figure out who this man is. His name's Alex, my other bestie.
And I thought it was more of she was making him go to see him, right? Or was it
no,
he wanted
I don't
to?
Think so. I think she was like, you should see who it is, but I don't think she told him to meet him, but maybe she did because
I thought
I'm
it was
sure.
more like she just wanted him to meet him.
Okay, well, okay. Whatever. The point is,
whatever.
He goes and meets him. He feels that electric shock thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
With and him. They like fall in love, and he's like, they're not doing anything physical, but like emotionally, he's cheating on his fiance.
Yeah. And so he's just like, they kind of like talk about how like and the other guy's the same way.
Yeah.
He's like, he goes, I have a girlfriend. Like, this is weird. But they're, like, almost, like, BFFs.
Yeah.
And just, like, they hang out all the time then. And then eventually, like, it becomes more than that. And Sally then figures out, like, because he's been lying about where he's been and everything. And he's always gone. What?
Do you know I'm just about? Laughing about Sumatra. I can't believe I said that.
I don't know.
Okay, so anyway. So here's what happens. So Sally finds out that he had been seeing Alex and is kind of mad and they break up. But then...
Because she's like, who am I to stand in the way of you and your perfect match?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing I can do. Like,
yeah.
And he kind of comes to harbor ill will towards Sally because he, like, he wants to be with this guy. Like, he's like, it physically pains me to not be with my match.
Yeah.
And so, like, this girl now is just, like, and he was mad because she was the one who made him do it anyway.
Right.
And he was happy. He was just fine.
So, they break up. He's spending time with Alex, having a good time. And then it turns out Sally calls him back and is, like, I'm pregnant. It's your baby.
Like what a... That is, like, so...
And she's, like, you can either be in the baby's life and we'll have the baby and you can help me raise it, or I'm going to get an abortion. And he's, like, I don't want you to get my child aborted. Like, that's not... So, and then he's, like, but I don't want to be with you. I want to be with Alex. She's, like, you have to be with me.
Or, like, these are your
it's
two
like
options.
Ultimatum. So he feels bad, so he goes, breaks up with Alex.
Alex,
which
was, like,
was heartbreaking, devastating. And also a little bit confusing because we thought that Alex might have thought that he killed himself. That was a weird
writing. The way that they wrote it.
Yeah, we don't know. We still don't know.
But anywho, there was no suicide. Yeah.
And so he goes and like helps Sally when she's pregnant. She goes to give birth to the child and there's complications in childbirth and she dies giving birth. And he's like, wait, what? And so he goes in to go see the baby because the baby survives. But the baby has dark skin and it turns out the baby belongs to Deepak.
Which was the best friend who was the perfect match, quote unquote, with his wife. Which
Sumaira.
They were not a perfect match, as Sumatra. And so the thing is, though,
I'm sorry.
Like, Nick and Amy had been at this point, like, while she was pregnant, he had been there the whole time taking care of her. Once he knew.
Sally.
Why do I keep wanting to call her Amy? I don't know. It's not her. So he was like, then at this point, like, he wants to be with his match, but he's like, okay, I'm going to have a son. Like, he's resigned to the fact that, like, I'm having a son now.
Right.
So, like, to him, this was his son. So even though it, like, came out being Deepak's son,
yeah,
he was still like, this is my son. And
Deepak wants nothing to do with the child anyways.
Yeah. And
so, you find out that Deepak actually was matched with Sally.
With Sally, not Amy. With Sally.
Amy out of here.
Nothing to do with this.
Okay, so... anyways, so this is so happy. I love this ending.
This is
so
the best ending.
Nick gets to raise his baby. I forget what they name it.
Dylan. I know that. It was Dylan.
Was Dylan his baby or was Dylan was Mandy's
Thomas
baby.
Thomas was Mandy's baby.
Okay. Are you sure?
I do know that for sure.
Okay, so he ends up being able to raise Dylan himself.
Because for some reason, Dylan is the only one I can see clearly. Dylan and Nick.
Okay, so Nick not even takes really Dylan and he goes and meets up with Alex and he's like, basically, he apologized and he's like, this is my son. He's like, and there's a lot, those are the huge
It's a
story.
Long story because Alex is like looking at him like,
what
incarnation? Bro, that's not your son. Yeah. And that's the thing that I thought was so weird because in my mind.
Bro, that's not your son.
Because in my mind, he has dark skin because I'm thinking of him as one specific person. Yeah. So that was very confusing for me.
Because
they give no description.
They don't. You don't. Well, we didn't pay attention to the descriptions.
I don't
okay,
know.
So anywho. So he's like, it's a long story, but he's like, I still want to be with you, but we come as a package deal, so, like, it's up to you. And then it's described as, like, Alex smiles widely. And so you know that they're together. And
embraced him. Give him the... And
yes.
So that was the only redeeming
part of this
book.
Give me a book on just Nick, Alex,
like,
and
what
Dylan.
Are they going to do now, the three musketeers?
I need to know.
And it was kind of perfect because he cut ties with his toxic friends.
Yes, that are the worst.
And, like, then you find out, too, at one point that, like, had been cheating on each other mm-hmm. the whole time. Didn't even really like each other.
Yeah.
They just wanted to, like, look down on their friends because they were a fake, perfect match.
Yeah.
And he lost his manipulative girlfriend that you find out,
that
his fiance.
Like. Yeah.
And, like, she, not that, like, I wanted her to be dead, but, like, it was nice that she was just gone.
Yeah.
That she was out of the picture.
Yeah.
Got a son, has, like, is back with his perfect
he
match.
Doesn't even have to worry about the whole lengthy adoptive process if he and Nick,
right.
He and Alex wanted to have a baby.
So they're all good. They're a perfect family. They moved to New Zealand together. Perfect life. Okay. So now we have to get back to Ellie and Tim's story just because it kind of, like,
that's
finishes off the book. And so... what happens with her is that it's this whole weird thing because, you know, Tim went behind her back and, like, infiltrated the system and ruined all these matches of people. So then you have a lot of questions. You're like, so are any of these people actually matched? Because he apparently, like, 200 test results he messed with. So 200 people.
No, 2 million.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, 200.
200.
Sometimes I mix up 100 and million.
Okay, that's
It's,
fine.
Like, just a thing that I do. No, so anyway, he messed up with all these different test results, whatever. And so he goes and confronts her in her office. But she doesn't know, like, at first he's live streaming the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her what's happening. So this is, like, going out.
Reveals
his
identity.
He reveals his identity, like, that his parents were screwed over by the system and it, like, subsequently ruined his life. And he's trying to seek revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you've had a long time to get over this, but okay. It's like your parents are divorced and that, like, people, that happens all the time and, like, they don't do anything like this, but okay, if that's what you want to do, Tim. So he goes in to her office, confronts her, blah, 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 and is essentially just, like, threatening her and saying, like, everyone's going to know this is totally fraudulent and this whole company is going to go under.
It's going to break
you down. And so she kills him. Like, she
picks up some, like, object.
A bottle, I think.
Yeah,
smashes it on him.
It's definitely blunt force trauma.
Right, so she hits him twice. And the whole thing, again, little to her knowledge, is being live broadcast. Streams, yeah, and, like, on TV and stuff. So social media networks. So she clearly did it. And so she has to go to court and everyone's questioning, like, well, am I a match? So now everyone wants to know. So at the end, it kind of is like her personal secretary or assistant asking her, like, she's waiting for the jury to come back and find if she's innocent or guilty because she had this really great lawyer team. Like, you think she's going to get off? And the secretary is like, okay, so what do you want to do? And she's like, okay, well, you know, when I get back to work, like, we're going to do all this stuff and we're going to offer people the chance to, like, get their DNA match, like, rematched.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, well, should we offer them a free match? And she goes, no, I think now they know, like, you have to pay if you want. And I think it was, like, only $10 anyway to, like, get your DNA matched. She's like, you have to pay. Like, people need to know, like, it shouldn't be that easy just to find out, like, if it's your match or not, just because people...
My stomach is growling. I think it's going to be picked up on the mic, so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I'll say it was a car.
Okay.
So they're like, we're just going to – people shouldn't be doing this anyway. It was almost like they wanted to deter, like, people from doing it. And then the lady's like, well, what if you're guilty?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, then just press the button and just, like, let it all burn down. So then the book is over, but then, like, the epilogue just says, like, welcome to matchyourdna.com. 404 not found.
Yeah,
and I was so like, that kind of like gave me goosebumps a little bit.
Yeah, and I was just like, that okay, was that's good, what needed to happen.
That was a good ending.
That thing.
So the whole system was shut down.
Yeah,
and it was just like all these people are questioning, like, are we a match or are we not? And I think that was like the whole thing because I really thought there was gonna be something that was like, I don't know. It's like when there's something that is science based and like we don't know anything about it, like as not science minded people, you're so quick to just like, oh, well, scientist says it, but it's like, whose agenda is it? And like for her, it was kind of just like a whole making money scheme and didn't really care that people are going to get divorced. And
she claimed she just is a sciencey person, but also it was like lowering divorce rates, lowering like murder rates, and it was like
because everyone's getting along,
yeah, getting rid of like racism and homophobia and all this stuff because it's like you're just whatever matching with the person that you're supposed to be with rather than thinking about all these like social constructs, right, or whatever.
But I was just thinking, like, I think people would be so hesitant, like, if this was the real world, mm-hmm, to actually do this. And like, why? That's like, I feel like is not something that's quantifiable by science, like relationships like that. And so I feel like, why would you let that dictate who your perfect match is? Like, I wouldn't trust it from the jump.
Yeah.
And then of course you're having other people, like right now people are even hesitant to put in their DNA to like 23andMe because they don't know like where that's what they're doing with that. And so I was like, this is just like a little bit much. Like, I feel like far too many people were trusting of this thing in the beginning.
I feel like, though, because now at this point, there's so many success stories.
True.
People probably would be, like, more
and I think they
inclined
were,
to try it.
Right. And I think they were kind of saying in the book that, like, it wasn't really that it was your quote-unquote perfect match, or is it just, like, you wanted to have a perfect
placebo
match?
Effect,
so,
kind of,
yeah,
thing.
Like a placebo effect. And you just wanted to have a perfect match so badly that you opened your heart to love, and like you didn't like someone who maybe like normally is more like guarded. That's kind of what they say. They were like that normally wouldn't put themselves out there in relationships. Once they found out it was their perfect match, they were more like apt to do it. So mm-hmm. The relationship went better. Or if there was like a fight, people were like, oh, well, it's my perfect match. Like, we'll get over it and we'll move on from here instead of just being like, okay, we're getting divorced. So was it that, or was it because you know, they were a perfect match, actually? I think that's kind of, like, the whole reason for the book is just, like, making you think, you know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, could there actually be something like that?
Right.
I don't think so.
I just didn't like the book.
I didn't either.
I wanted there so badly to be some kind of, like, underlying, like, I think I was searching for some kind of, like, Divergent/Hunger Games, like,
exactly.
There's an evil, like, government subplot.
That's 100% what I was looking for.
And there wasn't anything like that. It was just, everything was take it as it is. It's not, there's not, like, a deeper right, you know, evil scheme happening under the surface. That's what I wanted. I wanted there to be, like, a capital that was, like...
Right, so then you're, like, basically, I was, like, make it one way or the other. Make it either like that, where it's, yeah. like, some crazy stuff's happening, where the police officer's really in on all the murders, where, like, I don't know, that kind of crazy stuff's going on. Or make it, like, the lighthearted, like... You ended up with your celebrity crush. Make it go one way or the other. You just gave us five super depressing stories yeah. about, like, people. Mm-hmm. It was almost, like, too real life. But then at the same time, it was, like, but also the most depressing things. Yeah. And then, like, some of the stuff is a tiny bit far-fetched.
Yeah, and it was just, like, it was too long. Like, one of the only pros I wrote down for the book was the chapters were short, so that was nice. But there were so many.
And every time they left off on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, so and I was like, oh
just
my
excited and yeah. getting into one thing, and it was like, okay,
I knew,
let's
like,
go to
I was like, this is
going
to be problematic once I was like, okay, this has to be almost over because I'm so tired of this book. And I still had 8 hours left. Oh, we listened to it on Audible, by
oh,
the
yeah.
way.
Oh, so,
that might
yeah.
be confusing.
So here's the thing. I fully intended to listen or to read this on my Kindle, and I was like, okay, I'm going to read this. But, like, we didn't start it until too late, so we're like, let's just listen to it.
Yesterday.
And I was like, I'm going to have to listen to this, you know, because I have other stuff going on this week, and I'm going to listen to it in the car. And it kept my attention. It wasn't like there was no point where I was like, I got to give up on this. But then... I think it was more just we had a time crunch and because we knew we were, like, recording today. And so we listened to it together last night at, like, on, like, four times
oh,
the
speed.
Oh, my
gosh. No. We were listening to it on 1.7 times speed. I was sitting there.
It was so fast.
It was fine.
I have no idea what
but
they're saying.
But I kept looking over to Kylie, and her brain just looked like it had been fried. And she was like,
It actually was.
I don't know what was just said. So then I had to keep rewinding it.
It was like I would know, like, part of the sentence, and then all of a sudden, I was like, what is she saying, this lady?
And so I would have to pause it to give her a summary of what was just said. And then by that time, we should have been listening to it on 1.5 speed because of... But yeah, I did listen to a lot of it on, like, 3 times speed, and I was like... I feel like I'm going to have an aneurysm. That was bad.
That was...
But...
It was just a little much.
And honestly, I think I was unconscious for most of Jade's chapters because she was so boring and I did not care about her.
I didn't think she was so bad. I don't know. But anyway, so it's a book where, like, if you're gonna... listen, which now I feel like we didn't sell anyone on this book, which is fine because that's not what we're here to do. We're just here, you know, to check out different books. And so if you have a suggestion of a book that you like, let us know about it. You can email us at spineandvine@gmail.com or just, you know, drop us a message. You can follow us on Instagram and DM us, slide into the DMs at spineandvine on Instagram. No one had that handle, which I thought
was
cool.
Really nice.
Spineandvine. I thought that would have been taken. I like thought of that and I was like, oh, that's cool. I bet everyone
got
that.
And as an explanation, in case anyone didn't know, books have spines.
And then vine for the wine.
Well, yeah, but I thought that one was more obvious. But I feel like some people don't know that books have spines. And I'm not mansplaining that. I just feel like some people might not know it.
Thank you. Well, no, I said it to someone and they're like, I don't get it. I don't know who it was. I think it was Dad. No, it wasn't Dad.
I think it was me because
I think it was you. It wasn't Dad because he was like, when I told him the name, he was like, oh my gosh, like... It's like, what the heck?
I was confused.
I think it was you.
But I knew that books have spines. I just didn't make the connection. Yeah.
Do you have any other last comments on this book?
No.
Okay, good. Me neither.
I'm glad that I'm picking the next
one. I'm glad that it's over. But anyway, so, yeah, if you don't read this book, no big deal. It'll, you know,
sorry, Richard Marks.
It's John Marks, you idiot.
Okay, you were calling Sally Amy the whole time.
This book was bad.
Okay. I'm sorry, Sumatra.
But you know what? That's the thing. We read bad books. We'll read any books. Just tell us which books to read and we'll cover it. It's not.
Okay.
It's Karl Marx. It's Karl Marx.
We did read the Communist Manifesto.
It was great.
Okay, anyways.
Anyway, so... You know where to follow us. You know what to do. I think that this, you're going to be listening to this on Apple Podcasts. I think it
we
should
were accepted
be,
by Apple, so we're
we
official
were
like
Apple,
that.
The ghost of personally. Steve Jobs himself matched our DNA to his podcast platform.
Oh my God.
That was too far. That was insensitive.
Okay, yeah.
So, I can't wait to see which book we're going to do next.
Yeah.
And that's the fun thing, too, is just, like, no one has to even read any of these books because we'll give you an explanation of every one.
Right.
I can't wait till next time. So, Thanks for listening, and make sure you follow us at Spine and Vine on Instagram to find your next read. Bye.